two Bible readings. First of all, from Genesis chapter 17, which is on page 16 in your pew Bible. This is about the covenant of circumcision. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you father of many nations, and I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." Then God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant and your descendants after you for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you for your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep: every male among you shall be circumcised. You will undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people, and he has broken my covenant." God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her, and I will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. King of peoples will come from her." Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah, at the age of 99, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." Then God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year." When he finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in the household or bought him with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them, as God had told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that day, and every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. And now the second reading is in Colossians. Chapter 2, verses 8 to 15, and you'll find this on page 1183. So reading from verse 8. "See that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of the world rather than on Christ. I think that's a very relevant statement. I'm going to read that again. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and basic principles of the world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head of every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through our faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Having disarmed the powers of authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Amen. And may God help us to understand fully the meaning of these words.
Let us bow our heads before we begin today's teaching. Dear Lord, I ask that you bless this time, those of us hearing the words, those of us speaking the words. Lord, I pray that this time grows all of our faith and teaches us maybe something that we all didn't know before. May the words of my mouth be pleasable to your ears, Lord. Amen. Now, as you can see, I brought in some props today. I'm going to show them to you first. And we've already talked about this one before, which is, what is it? A rainbow. Excellent. And like Annabelle told us, it reminds us of what? God's promise to never again flood the earth. And that stayed true from the moment he spoke those words. And I have another symbol. If this was on my ring finger, what would this be? A wedding ring, which is a symbol of what? A promise. A promise to be married to somebody. And this one you might not understand quite at first. First of all, what is this? It's a Highland cow. We didn't have any normal cows except for this one, which is really large. Anvy likes to play on this when she comes up to visit. But this Highland cow, pretend it's just a normal cow, but this is the only one I had in the house, was what Josh talked about a few weeks ago when we went through Genesis 15. Now, if we remember this story, it's a story of when God first makes a covenant with Abram. And he reiterates his promise. I will give you a child, something that hasn't happened yet. And Abraham and Sarah, they're old. The hope of them having a child is almost non-existent. But God still gives them the promise. Not only will I give you a child, but many great nations will grow out of this child. In fact, it will be a royal line. Kings and princes will come from it. And to symbolize this covenant, he asks Abraham to bring a cow, a couple goats, some sheep, some birds, and he cuts them down the middle in half, which seems like a really weird, grotesque ritual, doesn't it? I wouldn't definitely want to cut a Highland cow down the middle, besides me loving cows. But this was something that was seen as normal. It was something that you did when you made a promise or a covenant or a contract between two different parties. You would cut an animal down the middle, and both parties would walk through the blood together. And what they're saying is, what's happened to these animals, the blood that was spilled, may this be done to me if I don't uphold my promise. And so when we hear the background of this really weird ritual, when Josh told us about chapter 15, we notice something really different. Abram doesn't walk through the blood with God. In fact, God puts Abram to sleep, and he walks through the blood himself. And this is important. God knows that we can't keep up our half of the promise. He knows that Abram especially can't trust and can't obey. And so God does what we can't. He makes a covenant with us that says, even when you can't hold up your end of the bargain, I will still uphold my promises to you. In effect, it's a one-sided covenant. We as people don't make any promises. There's not as much buy-in because God's done all of it. And this one-sided covenant becomes really important for today's story because we see it again, in a sense. God refers to the covenant in this passage as my covenant. He claims it as his own. And so when he says, I will confirm my covenant between me and you, he has taken on all responsibility for the continuation of Israel. As if Abraham could forget that God has promised him a great nation, he says, Abram, I will give you a son that will father many nations and will produce royal heirs. And to solidify this promise, God does something really special. Do you remember last week when I said that when God renames us, he recreates our identity? God does the same with Abram. He says, Abram, your name will no longer be Abram, but Abraham. And so what he's doing is he's saying, I'm changing your identity from Abram to father of many. I will follow up on my promise. And so every time that people call Abraham by name, every time that God calls Abraham by name, he's reestablishing the promise that he will indeed follow through on an heir and a child. And I think when God renames Abraham, it tells us something really significant about covenants. God's covenant is inherently relational. God's covenant concerns the fundamental relation of God and Abraham belonging to one another. They're known to each other by name, names that mean something. Abraham, the father of many. In this passage, God is referred to as El Shaddai, the great Almighty, the God who's powerful enough to follow up on his promises. And God ends this description with a foundational sentence, and I will be their God. But this sentence usually is followed by and implies, and they will be my people, a relational statement. But that's not here. And I think it's not here because God is going to give us instructions or directions on how to be his people. For the first time, God gives us a part to play in this covenant. He says, as for you, you must keep my covenant. Like any relationship, it's between two parties who have a responsibility to fulfill the demands of that relationship. Keep my covenant. And this will be the sign. Every male must be circumcised. In essence, there must be a physical mark that symbolizes devotion to God. A physical change must take place to match the faith we profess. So circumcision becomes important for two reasons. It was a physical sign that we belong to God, but it was also a physical reminder to live accordingly. Like Noel was saying, you make a promise and you write it on the card, But the bracelet that you make is the physical reminder to follow up on that promise. The two go together. You can't just promise something and then not follow up on it. And as I'm sure many of us have witnessed or even done ourselves, it's easy to let a ritual or a promise or a sacrament become empty and devoid of meaning. We do it because it's just what we're supposed to do. We come to church on Sunday mornings. I know I've done it. I can sometimes get through a whole entire Sunday service and realize that I was just going through the motions. The actions and the feeling behind it were divorced. They're not together. But God, in his all-knowing foresight, knows that we as people are prone to letting ritual become devoid of meaning. And so he says in Deuteronomy 36, he talks about a different kind of circumcision, circumcision of the heart. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul, and you shall truly live. We are people called not only to participate in a ritual, but to follow through with it in our actions. The physical changes that we make must be followed up by a spiritual and heart change. The university that I graduated from has a mission statement or a slogan. It's an education of mind and heart. And so I think this captures what the Old Testament is talking about. Not only did my professors and teachers teach me intellectual knowledge for my mind, but they asked us and challenged us, how does this apply to your life, to your faith, to the things that really matter? You can't learn theology as something purely intellectual. It's always something that has precedent on your daily life. And at this point, I know I've asked the question, we don't participate in the same kind of physical sign as this passage is talking about. So why is it important to learn? Circumcision is important because it forms the basis for what we believe about Jesus. Our Colossians passage is based on the reality that we are in Christ. What happens to Jesus also happens to us. Through a metaphorical circumcision, Christ put off our sinful natures and adopted us into a new covenant in his blood. No longer do we have to do that kind of physical sign, but there's something different. And we get it straight from Scripture. In Christ's baptism, we have been laid down. We have cast off and buried what holds us captive. And in Christ's resurrection, we have been renewed as covenant members. I think that's pretty incredible. You get an imagery that shows us that when Christ was baptized, we ourselves have been baptized with him. We have been made pure in his baptism. And instead of dying a death to sin, as we all would have, Christ's resurrection makes it possible for grace. So baptism becomes this physical sign that we have been changed by our relationship with God. And just as there was circumcision of the heart, there is also an action that follows up baptism. We're told to remember our baptism, to act in a way accordingly. There can't just be some kind of physical change, but a spiritual and heart change as well. So when God told Abraham of his role in the covenant, to honor God by making a physical change and a heart change, he was speaking those words to us as well. Follow me by proclaiming me in your baptism and proclaiming me in your hearts and actions. Friends, we are invited into a covenant that is relational. God wants us to be his. to be his in body, in heart, and in mind. May we yearn to proclaim him in all that we are and all that we do. Amen.